Welcome to Broadcast Media, the Inside Track, brought to you by Ancast. And here's your host, Ben Anker.
Hello, welcome back to the show, everyone. This is Brad Dixon. He's a retired senior lighting director. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you. Welcome. I appreciate that.
Excellent. So I guess, yeah, let's start off by asking you, you know, where did you start off and what did you do to get into the industry?
Okay, well, I was actually quite fortunate because actually in our high school, they actually started a radio and television course, which was sort of like a university course. They were experimenting and they set up a whole studio. We had ex-broadcast engineers teaching it, and we got to do all of the different functions like switcher, audio, video, telecine at that time, of course, lighting, and the whole gamut of things. So right in the high school end, we jumped right into the deep end. So it was quite fortunate that way. So that's where I got my training. Then I ventured out and did some little bit of freelance work at different studios around. I basically, you know, called up, did some little bit of volunteer here and there. And then eventually a position came up at a broadcaster actually for a security guard. And I jumped in and said, okay, I'll grab that. At least it's somewhere close to broadcasting. And then I let the people in lighting there know that, hey, I'm interested in lighting. And if you need some help on some, you know, the odd day off, I'd come in, do a little bit of help. And then they said, okay, if you're interested, they gave me a connection at CBC. I went down to CBC and again, it was just a timing thing. I had, you know, photograph, I'd been doing photography, do things like this, put a resume together. And at that point, the head of lighting there was looking at the lighting directors that they had on staff going, okay, they're getting older. We're going to have to bring a new batch coming up. And I just had the right timing and got in there and started at the very base level. A unique thing we had at CBC is you came in at base level, so it had a group one, and you were assigned any department. So, for example, if they needed people in audio or they needed whatever. And the benefit was is that you were learning from senior people who had been doing it for years. So, and as you say, you're directing things with regards to people who are entering the industry. And the interesting thing is that a lot of people will take a media course or do things like that, and they think, okay, that's it. I'm going to go in. I'm going to jump to the top now. It's like, no, actually, that gives you the very basic entry in. And the people who have been doing it for years and years will escalate your knowledge much further. Yeah. So that's how I started. And then that was, again, part of it luck, part of it was determination. So,
yeah. And I always find it interesting how some people almost start from like an obscure way in. And they sort of, you know, felt the way through the industry until they was able to find the role that they was really interested in, that really sort of captures what they want to do. Was there any, you mentioned at high school, there's a few calling signs, perhaps. When did you know that you was bound for the industry? Was there anything that sticks out like that?
Well, I had an art background. You know, I was always interested in art and doing things like that. And I won a scholarship at the Ontario College of Art while I was in high school, so I could go on the weekends. But it was, you know, I was interested in the lighting aspect. I was interested in how to create a three-dimensional form out of a two-dimensional object. So lighting is what played in that role. So with that, of course, in high school, got into lighting for, you know, our plays and, you know, got into the audiovisual end of things. So I sort of was drawn to that to begin with, and lighting sort of seized it up for me with my art background. I said, okay, that sort of held it together.
You mentioned about the grade one where you could be sort of put on any assignment at CBC. Did it inform you what you didn't like against what you do like?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually a group one. Yeah, so it was interesting because then here's what the difference was at CBC is that we're all employees. It wasn't a freelance basis. So the benefit that you had is that you've got to see the problems of other departments with their challenges. So you got to work together as a team. You could understand and appreciate what they needed to know. Even though I was assigned more to lighting, at least I knew, okay, audio has to have this, or, you know, if we're running power, what they're going to need, what they're, you know, and things like that. So that became a benefit. Yeah. The other thing is we did have the opportunity on some shows where you know, for example, the switcher on some, you know, kid show would say, "Hey, do you want to try switching today?" Right. And, you know, a wonderful opportunity. Right. And, you know, yeah, they'd sit beside you, they'd sort of guide you, but it was sort of a bit of a hand holding, but it was a benefit and, you know, a big plus. You know, camera person saying, "Do you want to try camera?" You know, and it was, you've got a better perspective of how our whole production goes together and the reason for the whole team to be cohesive and respecting each other. So that became a bonus.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And you was at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation for something like 37 years, is that right?
Correct. That's
yeah.
Correct.
And I'd like to ask you, what does longevity mean now looking back on that?
Well, if I'm good at all at my craft, I will say that I owe that to the people who were there before me. Right. Yeah. So that's one thing that it gives is some sort of succession in the sense that, you know, I got the skills from people who started in television. Right. And the benefit is that if I was doing something wrong or I was trying something, whatever, at least the solution was there from the senior people. The other benefit, now CBC's model has changed. It's gone into more of a freelance model. The one downside with that is that you don't get the succession. Like, I've got 37 years of experience. I've done everything, you know, from multi-camera to cinema to everything, right? Yeah. And those skill sets that I learned, right, who do I pass them on to, right? If all of a sudden you're only working with me for a day, like, you know, as I say, our crews would be freelance. If you're only working for a day or a week, it's like, okay, you get to learn that particular show that we're working on. But if all of a sudden you're not there on another show, you don't get to learn that. So that's what I found is a bit of a downside going to that model. So as I say, longevity, I did everything from soup to nuts, so to speak.
Right? Yeah. Along that journey through that long career there, I understand you also did some technical instructor work as well.
Correct. We had our own training department. When you came into CBC like I did, you know, you start as a group one. If you want to advance up to what they said was group three, which basically put you into the specific departments, you had to take our what they call a group three course, which is basically a theory and practical end. So it was like almost like a two-year university course in the matter of 3 weeks. But it was taught by senior technical people. And, you know, a lot of math, a lot of statistics, a lot of learning, and then there's a practical side too. So everybody had to go through that so that everybody had a much deeper understanding of the different departments on a technical basis. And at the end of it, you had to get about an 80% to pass. If you didn't, then you stayed at the group one level. You didn't get to move on to the next level, which, of course, you know, extra pay, of course. But moreover, you were then put into your assigned department. So for example, I wanted to go into lighting. So if I became a group three, it'd be like, okay, I wouldn't be moved around to different departments. I would be in that area. So the benefit that I had is that just going through my years, they required somebody in lighting to be a technical instructor. And that position opened up and I went into it. And that became a bonus because then when you're teaching you, and it's funny, I would start my course off. I said, you know, in lighting, we get to kill people. And people were like, what? I said, yeah, we get to electrocute them or we get to drop something on them. I said, we may like them, you know. Yeah. And part of it was making them realize there's a safety aspect to it, right? And realizing that even though they may not be in the lighting department, understand that they should have some understanding of what lighting does, because if you're seeing something not right, speak up. Because, you know, like I told them, that like we had mobile, right? And production mobile. Well, guess what? You're the one stepping from the ground onto that metal step. And if I power it up wrong, guess who gets electrocuted, right? I'm standing on the ground further away. So it's things like that where you've got to understand the different departments that go on it. And that became a big plus. CBC had a good training department.
And all that was, I guess, bespoke, sort of internally crafted and run sort of
Correct.
Training instruction.
Yes.
Is there any sort of professional qualifications or certifications that people may find useful, or is it all best being that bespoke organic training material?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I would also be asked to talk to students outside. And to give you my little bit of spiel that I gave to them is that number one, I would tell them, if you're interested in this, go out and speak to people who are doing the craft already. So you know what the whole business is about. Because if all of a sudden you're going to venture out and say, oh, I'm going to go to a school, I'm going to spend X amount of years there, better decide that I really like this job. Don't get some imaginary thing about this job. Oh, it's glamorous. It's like, no, and a lot of times it's a lot of hours, you know, it's a lot of different things. So speak to the people to begin with and find out if that's what you really want to know. That's number one. Number two is do the numbers. And what I mean is, how many schools are out there in the world? How many people come out of that school, those schools every year, you know, as graduates? How many people are actually doing the craft that you want to do, right? Or how many positions are there? And how many people are actually in there doing them? So yeah. You start looking at those numbers, and I don't want to sound defeatist. I'm just saying that be realistic, right? And if all of a sudden you said, well, I want to be this director of photography and do great cinema, great, wonderful. But the reality is there's few and far between, and people are doing that. That being said, if all of a sudden you start broadening your horizon, start saying, hey, you know, I like doing lighting. And if I start doing it for an audiovisual company, or I do a little trade show, or I do, like, you know, those aspects. So be open to that end of it is the real key. When I start saying, okay, do the numbers. You know, it's the same way as, like, I myself was lighting director, right? Well, I've got the position, I've been doing it X amount of years, but I have people on crew. So if all of a sudden you start saying, okay, I want to be on crew, right? And then eventually move up. So it's steps by steps. And, you know, I mean, the one thing with regards to certification, a lot of people come out of school and they're going, oh, I've got this certificate in this media school or whatever, right? And the reason I say I don't say, you know, film and broadcast, because a lot of schools say, oh, we were film. It's like, well, I don't think you do film anymore, right? You know, yeah. I did film, and, you know, you said there's a chemical process and electronic process. I think they're pretty well doing electronic process, most of them. And so you sort of sit back going, all right, you come out of that, but realize that, and again, just doing the numbers, realize how many people are coming out of those schools with those numbers, right?
Yeah.
Add on to that. So for example, I was just speaking to one student recently, and I said, okay, go get your first aid course. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, if all of a sudden everybody's walking out with the same resume, guess what? I need somebody who has background in first aid. Why? Well, because accidents happen on set. So if all of a sudden there's a production, you're saying all of these people can turn around and do first aid. There's a plus. Separate yourself a little bit different. The other thing too is that, all right, you're going up on lifts. So in our area, you require a aerial work platform certificate. If you're going to get in a scissor lift doing whatever, you got to be certified in that. Fall protection, right? So now you have to wear a harness, you have to do things like this. You have to be, now in our particular province, we actually have a requirement to working at heights certificate. CBC was a federal organization, so we came in a different jurisdiction, but we also had at CBC all of those different training aspects. So all of these pluses add up. The other thing is that one benefit that there is now is with so much online, it's a matter of, okay, you know, you're interested in doing lighting. Okay, understand lighting consoles. Well, I'd like to, but I don't have a lighting console. Well, download the software, right? A lot of companies are dealing with that now. It's like, hey, and webinars, you know?
Yeah.
There's all different webinars. There's discussions. There's different cinematographers, online groups. There's different things like that. If you really have a passion for it, and this is what I find is that some people are going, well, I really like it. You know, it's glamorous. It's like, no, it's not. Whereas some people will sit back and say, I've got a passion for it. I understand, you know, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of hours, but I really like that. Those people I want to embrace. Those people that I want to bring on board and sit back and say, yeah, okay, whatever you want to learn, go from there. Because you know that they are going to stick through, you know, and follow up. So
that's brilliant to hear, Brad. You just mentioned then about the software, and I'd like to just sort of talk to you about how you have seen sort of the revolution of TV lighting with software and LEDs. That must have been something that must have taken up quite a chunk of the career, and something must have been amazing to watch and to be a part of, right?
Well, it was interesting at CBC because things just sort of clicked in our department. We had a group of people there who were really into lighting, really into technology. Some of our lighting technicians, they were actually software developers, right, on the sideline. So, you know, again, wide range of interest. We developed very early AutoCAD programs designed to do our lighting plots, but then we sort of branched out. And I was actually doing automated lighting, so I was doing moving lights on a console and speaking with some of them. I said, hey, like, you know, I'm using a trackball. It's like XY coordinates. It's like, you know, and I would plan my moving lights by doing on the plot some just different scales and get some things like this. And I said, why don't we connect the two up together, read it and go from there. And that, so that sort of branched out, and we developed software that you could actually hook your lighting console up, see your set in 3D, and start pre-programming your lighting. And that was within CBC. And that became a big plus. That eventually got taken out of CBC and became a commercial product that's been used for a few decades. So that became a plus. So dealing with that software was fun. And then we went further in CBC. Actually, a gentleman from the Royal Opera House came to us, and he eventually got a job at CBC, but he had been doing 3D work there. He worked with us. So we were doing pre-visualization, camera moves, everything like that ahead of time. And then, as you say, myself, I started to venture into LED for the studio. I was actually dealing with LEDs that were designed to light up buildings. They didn't have LEDs for the studios at that point. So I worked with different companies. We were a little bit of an incubator for different companies, and we developed studios that were all LED lit. As a matter of fact, we created the first all LED lit newsroom. And, you know, it was funny because the managers put the project together. He said, well, who else is doing this? And I said, nobody. And to his credit, he said, well, someone's got to be the first. And so we sort of went that way. And as I say, seeing where it is now and seeing the different products that are out there, it's sort of interesting. But the understanding the technical aspects of it is the other thing. I mean, I just to branch off very quickly, I developed software since I retired that actually helps to evaluate LED lights, because there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of hype with regards to LED lights. And our software evaluates it based on how the camera sees it, how the camera's electronic chroma signal sees it. So a little bit more on the technical end there, but right now I've been assisting different gaffers, different people venturing into that and saying, okay, a lot of lighting manufacturers out there are pushing one thing, but here's what the reality is, and this is what our software does, is it shows them how realistically it will look on camera.
I mean, it sounds like a really sort of dynamic and exciting thing to be like ingrained in your sort of career that must have spanned many years. I guess taking us through, is there any sort of favorites or highlights that stick out for you in terms of outside broadcasts or studio or cinema?
Well, it's all interesting. As I say, you know, from a lighting perspective, any day you're doing lighting, it's, you know, if you've got a passion for it, it's rewarding. But yes, I mean, our studios, for example, we did X-Men 2, we did a number of different productions around. So we had, you know, cinema productions coming in, as you say, with the outside broadcast. The interesting thing with regards to the outside broadcast, we actually did a lot of skating shows. And it wasn't just a skating show of people skating on ice. Some of it was, we did a reproduction of Singing in the Rain, for example. But we had to turn an entire arena into a studio, right? So we're going in, it's not designed to be a studio. We had to go in with power. We had to go in with, you know, with our trusses, with different things like this, and sort of go in and make from scratch. So that became interesting. Another thing we did with regards to studios, again, we had a lot of innovative people within our lighting department. We actually, our studios had lighting trusses or lighting grids moved up and down. Well, that's good. It makes things a little bit easier, but we took it a step further. We actually put in a whole network of lighting control protocol like DMX, and we put non-dims in there, so controlled by DMX. So what it meant was you could take any type of fixture, and we were using a lot of automated lighting. I mean, way back we used scrollers and different things like this. You could put anything hanging on the lighting grid. It, you know, it all came down to the ground, put it there, hang it, but it was all plug and play. So it's not a matter of having to run the infrastructure in again, doing things like this. All the dimmers were there. All the DMX control was there. Everything all networked back. So that was sort of interesting and fun. And we'd have people come in, rent our studios, like I say, outside productions. And they were amazed at how quickly things turned around. And it became a benefit because people who came on board on a, let's say, a freelance basis, it was like, we're state of the art. And even at the broadcast center at CBC Toronto, we were one of the first to switch over to digital video. So the whole plant was digital. You know, I mean, some of the serial numbers are on equipment was 001. It was like, you know, we were dealing with a different manufacturer. So a lot of transition happening. So
they sound really, really exciting times to be involved in. And I guess for the sort of new people sort of breaking through now, if you were able to meet your 18-year-old self now, Brad, what would you say to yourself?
I would be saying, get online. Well, first off, network as much as you can. Because one thing, I mean, when I used to talk to students, I would hand out my card to them, business card. And then I stopped doing that. And I'd tell them, I said, no, I'm not going to give them a business card. And they'd be like, well, why? Because I did that before and people didn't call back. People didn't connect. People didn't network. I said, I'm here now. Talk to me now. I can have you in my crew tomorrow. So, like, you know, tell me, impress me now, network with me now. And that was the big thing is that networking and now with the technology being available online, you know, get together with whatever group there is, get together with whatever webinar. So yes, if you're going to evaluate a school, this is the other point too, is if you're going to go to a school, there's a couple of things. Number one, evaluate the equipment that they have. Because if you're dealing with outdated equipment, there's an issue because you're paying your tuition to essentially rent that equipment. And also look at the skill sets of the people that are teaching that. So they should have that. And I said the one reason why you go to a school is to make mistakes. Try. And because if you make a mistake in the real world, in the studio, you probably won't be back the next day. But you're there to experiment and do whatever. So again, if you're going to dedicate your time in the school, by all means, turn around and do that. But realize you've got to have that passion to begin with and understand what the realistic aspects of the job are. And right now, a lot of it's freelance, and understand that that is going to cut into your social life. You know, I mean, the reality is all of a sudden, oh, we've got some family event happening this weekend. Hey, I can't go. I've got this gig coming up, or I had this gig and it got canceled and I've got this. So there's a lot of topsy-turvy sort of thing going on there, and realize that's a life that you're getting into. And it better be within your blood. It better be something that you're really passionate about, because otherwise it can cut you down very easily, right?
That's good advice, Brad, for sure. And I guess you're still sort of ticking away doing some software development. I understand you've got a website, right? We can go and find some information on lightingvideo.tv. Yeah,
that's correct. I've just got a bit of a background there. And I'm also now part of the American Society of Cinematographers on their lighting committee. They invited me on there, so that's enjoyable. But yeah, as I say, I like seeing people with a passion. I encourage it. And it's good. But as I say, if you have that passion, don't just limit yourself to the school and network. I mean, we can't get out to trade shows, but network with yourself as much as you can online. We are out and about and we can get back to trade shows, go to them, start talking, start going from there, because these jobs aren't advertised, right?
Yeah.
And don't set your sights so high, right? That it's like, oh, I want to be a director of photography for, you know, major productions, you know, around the world. It's like, that's a great goal, right? But understand, few and far between are, but I don't want to stop you doing that, but realize that there's steps to get there and take those small steps.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you, Brad, for having you on the show. It's been a real good insight into the lighting world and your story. So thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks for tuning into Broadcast Media, The Inside Track. Subscribe for more real-life insights into the industry. And for more information, head to ancast.co.uk.